But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Good morning and welcome to Playing with Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shortell, and I'm here with co-host, producer, and dear friend, Stu Schrager. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Tom. Hold on a minute. I have a surprise for you.
You do.
And I'm going to present you with a birthday cake.
Well, thank you, sir. I hope it's a Fudgy the Whale. Is that Fudgy the Whale I see?
No, I wouldn't do a Carvel cake.
I love Carvel.
Do you really?
Oh, totally.
Really? I wonder, do they still have Fudgy the Whale?
I don't know. I haven't, you know, I've been kind of, you know, studiously staying out of Carvel's because I tend to misbehave when I go in there. Although there's a place out in Riverhead called Dairyland. And it's kind of on my way back from where the kids play softball and lacrosse and all of that. So we always wind up, you know, stopping there. And, you know, they get all these odd flavors like moose nose or whatever the hell it is. And, you know, I always wind up with a twist. I like the little soft serve, you know.
So here we sit on Sunday, April 12th.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, April 14th is your birthday.
Yes, it is. It is.
So congratulations. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Do you have any special plans for the week, or because it's in the middle of the week, it's...
No, the kids, my grandkids tend to make a big deal about it, you know, so I'll spend tomorrow with them. And I think Val's got something planned for Tuesday in the city, so that'll always be fun. You know, we generally try and do a special dinner for each of our birthdays, which is always fun. A lot of times we go away. We'll go to... you know, Boston usually, or Philly, and then trash the restaurant scene up there or down there, depending on where we go. And that's always fun. But I think this year we're going to stay a little closer to home and kind of hang out in New York in the city.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It's I think she's got something hooked up, Sisiamo, Italian restaurant. I think it's on the west side.
Really?
Yeah, so that should be fun. I haven't been there. It's, you know, I think the biggest problem she has is trying to find places I haven't been to. Because it seems like I've been to every restaurant in New York and, you know, Florida and California. And so it's always, and Boston, a little difficult to find places that we haven't been before. But, you know, that being what it is, it's always fun to, you know, I still feel the same sense of wonder when I walk into a restaurant that I felt the first time I went in when I was a kid. And it's just that whole, I don't know if it's because I've been in the business so long that I just feel like it's my world. It's my comfort zone. It's the place I feel the most energized and the best, you know, about. I don't know. It's just because you know exactly what's going on everywhere, you know. So there's a whole, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not comfort, but there's a whole familiarity thing, you know, that I have when I walk into a restaurant. I can kind of look and see what the waiters are doing. I know where they're going. I know what they're thinking pretty much, you know. I know what the cooks are thinking. So it's fun.
This sounds like the plot theme for Cheers, the bar.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like that, you know. It's
But let's delve into that thought. If you're set on a even plane, so you go in, you know what the menu is.
Right.
Sometimes restaurants have... specials of the day, which is interesting. I might have talked about this before, so I'm having a senior moment, but I went to a restaurant down in Florida, and not only did they have a menu,
right,
the menu had specials of the day, which right. were continual, and then there was specials of the day,
right,
which was a real special. But like, what's your mindset at, both as a proprietor of a restaurant and as also as a customer, if you're used to something and then the menu changes, do you get bent out of shape, or because of who and what you are, you can roll with the punches?
Yeah, I can roll with anything, you know. The whole menu thing is interesting, because I remember when I was at Coolfish, people would say, you never change the menu, which wasn't true, because we would change it seasonally, you know. There was always a couple of things that would come in the spring, you know, asparagus, morels, lamb, you know, that kind of thing. And then in the summer, you know, you get corn and tomatoes and soft shell crabs and, you know, and lobster. And then in the fall, you have all the squashes and pumpkins and things like that. The winter, you get oysters and cauliflower and broccoli. So, you know, it always changed, but the perception was it wasn't changing. And I said, all right, you know, I'll show them. I'll change it. And I changed it. Well, I can't believe you took the sea bass off. I can't believe, you know, it's like, change it, but don't change what I like, you know. it's very funny.
So you said something magical in there. Soft shell crabs.
Oh, yeah.
When do we start?
Well, they started. I've seen them in the market the last 2 weeks, which is early. You know, they used to have to wait till the end of April. Now it's pretty much the end of March. Problem is, they're very expensive at the moment.
We apologize to interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with some breaking news. The Barry Manilow concert, originally scheduled for April 13th at UBS Arena, has unfortunately been postponed due to doctor's orders. If you are a winner of our Playing with Fire ticket contest, please stand by as we will get in contact with you shortly. Now let's get back to Tom and Stu.
They were running like $150 a dozen, which is insanity, you know. They're down now to a little over 100. I usually wait till they get in the 70s before I start running them on a menu, because otherwise it's too expensive, you know. But it's always nice to have the first of the season soft-shell crabs. I mean, I try and eat one a day until they go out, because I think it's nature's gift to Long Island is just...
You sauté it?
Yeah, but all of the above. I mean, sauté it, fry it, you know, put it in a pasta. I mean, all of it. I just think their blue claw crab is, I think, the tastiest crab there.
So putting it in a pasta, I mean, so you cut it up?
Yeah, you cut it up. Yeah, sauté it, and I use it usually with a red sauce, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting. So we have mail for you, and I'm not talking about email. One of our listeners dropped something off at the front desk.
Oh, it says, "Don't worry, I won't put you to work on your birthday." Somebody must have. Let's see. Can we open this on the air here? Okay. Hang on. Let's see what this is.
Hopefully it's not a lawsuit.
No. There's no powder in it, which is good. Yikes.
So it's from Bill O'Leary.
I see that. It's Blue Waters Mediterranean Cuisine.
Oh, it's a very nice restaurant that has increased the size of its the restaurant over in, I guess, North Belmore.
To figure what this is. I think that there's a receipt in here for a gift card for $25. Look at that. My God. Thank you, Bill. That's very, very generous of you, and I am going to put that to good use. I will peruse this menu when we get off the air. And, you know, I love Greek food, so right up my alley. Thanks again, Bill. That was
My favorite dish there is there's a shrimp in a tomato sauce, I believe with feta cheese.
Everything has feta cheese in it.
Right. Yeah. And I was not expecting that on the menu. Uh-huh. So, again, here we sit April 12th. Looking forward to the 14th.
Don't rush it. I mean, it's coming soon enough.
But how did Easter go?
Easter was interesting. We did, I guess, 100 and something dinners over at Allure, which, you know, right, is... on the North Fork, 80 or 90 at Social and about 80 or 90 at Amano. So that was fine. We did about 300 over at 270 or something over at the club, which was a buffet. So it was fun. I mean, you know, I kind of enjoy that, setting up the Easter buffets because, you're kind of, interested in decorating and, a lot of eggs, a lot of wheatgrass, and it's fun. We did it this like kind of veggie mania table where we did all kinds of roasted and sautéed vegetables. Probably had about 12 or 13 different vegetables, which is kind of fun for me. I mean, I like eating that way, and everybody kind of appreciated it too, because generally on a buffet you have one or two, But we did a whole spread. We had salads and artichokes and 8-hour tomatoes and miso roasted radishes and grilled asparagus and broccoli, kung pao broccoli. It was kind of fun, So it was a good day all in all.
So I had an interesting Easter weekend. Some of it embarrassing, some not.
Tell me. Now I'm curious.
Went out to celebrate one of my friend's birthdays on Friday afternoon. Friday here at the radio station was sort of a half a day because of the holiday.
Yeah.
So we gathered over at Neeson in...
Comac?
It's Comac, yeah. East Northport area.
It's Tom's place.
Yes. You know Tom?
I know Tom, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good guy.
He's very nice. So we had about 10 people there or whatever, and I don't usually day drink.
It's dangerous.
However, I've been influenced by you. So Tom, the owner of Neeson, was serving us a really, really, really nice cold sake.
Uh-huh.
And I had a little bit. And then I had to go somewhere. There was a police rally relative to retirement funds and stuff,
wow,
which was the next town over. And then I went home. And I guess I got home before 6, but I made the mistake of laying down.
Yeah, that's no good.
Next thing I know, it's 10:30. And inadvertently, I had left my phone by the front door. And apparently at one point, Carrie was calling me for dinner. But, you know, that was 3 hours earlier.
Checking
than...
checking the hospitals.
So at any rate, and then we were supposed to be going up to Newport's on Saturday to celebrate friends of ours' sister. Our friends live in Florida. The sister's up here. But over the years, become very friendly. And the parents had run a bed and breakfast up in Newport's. And I guess at this point, they're probably retired about 10 years. But my goodness, I wasn't all that familiar with bed and breakfasts or whatever. Obviously, you do as you've run some. What, Jedediah is?
Jedediah, well, it's more of a boutique hotel than a bed and breakfast.
So, but over the years, I mean, they would serve baked egg, which mm-hmm. was like an egg cooked in a small
eggs.
Casserole.
Yeah.
They would do incredible. We were usually up there Thanksgiving or Christmas, so there'd be incredible dinners, roasts and stuff. And the mother was really big into decorating. So, you know, as soon as Thanksgiving, there was Christmas stuff up or whatever. Right. And I learned to drink a martini up there. and they had the most curious about learn to drink. Well, and they had the most amazing stuffed olives that they homemade.
Yeah.
And
blue cheese or something.
Yeah. So everything is good. And the memories up there were incredible. We went up there once during the blizzard that was probably 10, 12 years ago when we got like probably almost 2 feet of snow here.
Yeah.
Up there it was, you know, crazy, a lot of snow. Getting up there was really difficult. Really, the only way we were able to stay on the road was to follow the taillights of the tractor trailers in front of us.
Freaky.
It was really, was really rough. And I'm going to say something that's going to come back in the end of the story. And I said, Carrie, you want me to drive? And she goes, no. If my family's going to perish in this storm, I'm going to be the reason.
Yeah.
So she drove. We get up there. And I don't know. I guess I must have brought a hockey stick or a couple of hockey sticks. We were actually, it was so snowy up there. They were building igloos and we were playing ice hockey on the front driveway because they had like a bed and breakfast. So it was like a large parking area.
Yeah.
So it was really, really, really nice. And I remember coming back to Long Island and coming to get on the driveway. And it was like, you know, we were away, so nobody did anything.
Of course.
And again, there was, you know, like 2 feet of snow on the driveway, so it was a mess. But at any rate, we went up to Newburgh, and Carrie likes to drive. And hopefully she's not listening, and nobody will tell the story. But so she likes to drive. So this time she was driving, but I guess she was a little impatient. Maybe we left a little late.
Yeah.
And before I know it, gagging and all car sick or whatever. That never happens.
Yeah.
Never have. I'm opening the window to get some fresh air. Whatever. It was a disaster. Fortunately, she got tired.
Oh, good.
Put me behind the wheel, and I was able to settle my equilibrium and come out of this funk.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, so we get up there, and apparently the party was at, it was a 60th birthday. It was at a local brewery. And it was Passover, and pardon me, Father, for I have sinned. So I watch what I eat, and in observing Passover, there's the traditional belief that you, more detailed, you can't eat grains, this, that,
sure.
and the other, but it's mostly about not eating bread,
right.
And in today's world,
leavened bread,
so... Yeah. I cheat a little bit, but there's the Ashkenazi, the Sephardic, I believe, Jews
from Spain,
and they do it a little different. So they're allowed to eat beans and grains, and I'm saying pasta.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah.
I create my own rules. So at any rate,
so you're a Reformed Sephardic,
yeah. So
Ashkenazi
so we get up there, and first of all, it was a buffet. You mentioned buffet before. But I've never seen a buffet like this in the sense of the way they ran it.
Yeah.
So first they had salads out.
Right.
So there was, you know, mozzarella, heirloom tomatoes, and like artichokes and mushrooms and some cheese, other cheeses or whatever. But I eyed on the side, there was some, I guess there was eggplant parmesan and some other stuff. And they were like, get away. So I had to stand in line first to get my, in quotes, salad.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see they open the rest of the stuff. But unfortunately, it was baked clams, which has bread.
Yeah.
It was something else that had bread. It was just really bad. So I had to go with the flow and, you know, break tradition a little bit. But I did behave when it was dessert because it was birthday cake and cookies, and I didn't partake.
All right.
But it was a very nice party. What was really cool is the woman was 60.
Mm-hmm.
They had a band, cover band, that was playing strictly 80s music.
Oh, wow.
And I guess that sort of fits in. I guess somebody that would be into the 80s might be actually a little younger, like in maybe 55. So I guess there's like an umbrella or whatever.
Yeah.
But they played song after song after song that was incredible. I felt like I was like younger than most, but it wasn't true. It was only in my head.
Of course, yeah. I'm 18 when I get up in the morning.
But my goodness, you know, getting onto the dance floor, it seemed like everybody was way older than I.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny how you never age in your mind. You're always, you know, your body ages. Your mind stays young, you know? I mean, I'm convinced I'm 21 until I try and pick something up or, you know, whatever. That changes everything.
So that be said about the mind. Last week we were talking about some restaurants, I think, in Freeport. You mentioned the Schooner, which was the one that was all
right
the way
the
down at the end.
Sure.
The one that was closer up, just off of Merrick Road, Atlantic Avenue, I believe was called the Moorings. And I'm just curious anybody remembers the Moorings
in
Freeport.
I took my little sister Annie there for her 18th birthday because it was they had four chef hats. Remember Barbarato? she was a critic in New York at New York Newsday, and not New York, Long Island Newsday. And she used to rate restaurants by chef's hats. She would give it one, two, three, or four.
Yes.
And sometimes a half a hat, whatever. But the Moorings had four hats. So I took my little sister there when she turned 18 because it was her first real restaurant experience.
Wait, is this the one you also took to see? What band did we go see last summer?
The
Who?
No, that was my cousin.
Oh, okay.
And my cousin Kathy, yeah. Yeah, my sister Annie, she's a saint. She worked for me for like 25 years.
She's a saint.
Yeah, and you know, kept me from being in jail. She was my bookkeeper. So she kept me honest and on the right path most of the time. And, you know, occasional wine tasting where I bought too much stuff. But other than that.
So to just finish my story. So, again, we're up in New Paltz. We stay over. We had the breakfast at the hotel, always a party.
Yeah.
Came home. And actually, we did Easter brunch with friends, good friends of ours. Their son grew up with Kerry's son, Jason. And we had a really nice Easter brunch. That was like 11 o'clock. Socialized for a while. Kerry got dropped off. I went home for a little bit. And then I was still able to have dinner with Mom.
Oh, nice.
So it was real nice. But it was funny when we were trying to plan what we were going to do for dinner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody reminded me that, you know, what Jews do on Christmas, they have Chinese food
yeah,
or whatever.
It's the only thing that's open.
Mom became a little religious, though. She said, you know, I don't know if we can really do this, the Chinese food tonight, because there's noodles in it, there's flour in some of the sauces or starch or whatever.
Yeah.
So she goes, nah, let's just go with some salads, you know, from the diner or whatever.
That was good.
But I was still trying to get...
Hey, let me ask you a question quickly. When you were in New Paltz, is P&G's and the Homestead still there?
That's funny you ask. I don't know.
Yeah.
But when I mentioned I was going up to New Paltz, someone in my family, I think my brother-in-law, Alan, was going, oh, there was this famous restaurant or pub up there or whatever.
Yeah, and Homestead. I think it's still there. I mean, it was there when I was there in 73. So it's, you know, you're talking about 50 years. I mean, that's, you know, restaurants and bars, it's dog years, you know. So
don't judge me, but I got to tell you, there's a little difference between the people up in New Paltz and Long Islanders, it's a little country. It's yeah, very country.
No, they're civilized, and we're not.
And I was looking at it the other way. it was a real rural feel to it.
Yeah.
But nice time, again, great people, and here we are.
I liked it up there. You know, I spent a year up there, and I probably wouldn't have come home. You know, I probably would have stayed another couple of years, but, you know, I was dating somebody down here, and it was just, it was all too complicated. But, yeah, I had a good time up there. I mean, I really like, it's funny, you know, I go up there now way more than I used to. I mean, I hadn't been up to Poughkeepsie or the school, CIA, in, I don't know, 20 years. And then, you know, I went back once coming down from Maine just to see what was going on. And now I kind of go up a couple of times a year just to have dinner. Because they built a hotel, a nice hotel right across the street, the Bellevue or whatever it's called. Anyway, it's... you know, it's nice and easy. You can go have dinner. You can have a bottle of wine. Or you go right across the street and crash and burn. And the hotel's very nice. I think it's a Marriott. But anyway, it's what's changed for me is, you know, when I used to go up there, I would travel from Route 84. I would get on to Route 9 going north. And it was kind of like, you know, there was a store here, a store there, bowling alley, a gas station, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And then you would go through little patches of it where there were strip centers. Now it looks like Sunrise Highway. The thing is, it's malls and gallerias, and oh my God, the place has just completely changed. And I was saying that, you know, when I was going up there a couple of years ago, and then I realized, well, it's been 50 years. Of course it changed, you know. It's been a long time since I was up there, which is hard to believe. 50 years has gone by that quickly, you know. And, you know, I still see my college roommates. We all get together like a couple times a year, you know, guys that went to school with, and they're all still alive, thank God, you know, and we're all in our early 30s, you know, so it's a miracle.
So this show is so well scripted so that, you know, we know exactly what we're going to talk about
in 10-minute
segments, but you mentioned something that piqued my interest. You said going up to Maine, somehow that made me think of Rhode Island, and I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I said that I had been up in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And he goes, Rhode Island? He goes, you know, there's a new show on, I guess, one of the channels, Housewives of, oh, Bravo, Housewives of Rhode Island.
It's
a new thing.
I can't.
And he goes, my cousin is on the show, and apparently his cousin is Joe Ellen Tiberi, I believe.
Mm.
But he goes, talk about TMI. He goes, the things I'm learning about this woman, threesomes and this and that.
It's just, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I have no patience for all that stuff. I mean, reality shows. What's real about being voted off an island? I mean, you know, you've been voted off an island. It's ridiculous. You know, you want reality? You know, film a restaurant on Saturday in Long Island. You'll get reality. But it's the whole thing to me is it's you know, TV is, it could be such a great teaching tool, and it doesn't all have to be education. I mean, certainly, you know, it is, you know, an argument for entertainment. But what's passing for entertainment now is, you know, a bunch of ladies screaming at each other, throwing drinks across the table. I mean, really? You know, this is what we're watching? And I know people that are addicted to it, you know. I can't wait to get home and watch it. I'm, like, shaking my head. I have no idea what the appeal is. You know?
If you open yourself up to one of those shows...
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, it seems like it's Divorce City and this, that.
Not totally.
You know, your life is over. Or just beginning, because I guess you become a celebrity and then everybody wants to be associated with you.
Chasing the spotlight, you know. It's just, I don't know why you would want to do that.
But talking about reality shows, talking about TV, and this comes closer to your bailiwick. There's a new show on
Bailiwick. Cool. I'm impressed.
You like that?
I did. I wasn't expecting it. That one came right out of left field.
Okay.
I never saw it coming.
I even knew how to say it.
You did.
So America's Culinary Club.
Uh-huh.
Are you a cup?
Excuse me.
America's Culinary Cup. Are you familiar with this show?
I could make a comment right now, but I'm not going to.
But it's hosted and it was created by, maybe you know who she is, Padma Lakshmi?
Yeah, Lakshmi. Yeah, she's a model turned food, you know, person. She was one of the judges, the MC on, what's that show, Next Chef or something. What's the one Tom Colicchio is on?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, anyway, it was his co-host, Padma. But I think she started out as a model, if I'm not mistaken.
She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, she is, totally.
So that it's on CBS, and I guess I saw the coming attractions. They had some segments on the news one morning because it was just starting. Seemed like a very interesting show. I guess they have two or three chefs competing with each other.
Yeah.
And then there's two or three judges. But they're really tough on them. You know, it looks delicious, and they're tasting it. You know, this is really good. But it's a little acidic.
Yeah.
You know? But it was, it seems to become a very popular show, and I guess there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of people that still watch traditional ABC, NBC, CBS, and don't venture into all
the cable
other
channels. Yeah. You know, it's funny, these cooking shows are, you know, I guess they're fun. I catch a couple of them once in a while. I like, although I'm kind of getting bored with it, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, you know, I tend to watch Iron Chef once in a while because they're on when I'm home, you know, which is at midnight, you know. But some of them, they have this one, Next Gen Chef now. It's on Next Generation Chef. And it's filmed up in Hyde Park at the school that I went to, you know. So I turn that on every once in a while. The rest of them, you know, I mean, I like Guy Fieri personally. I've met him. He's a very nice guy, and he's exactly what he is on TV. He's no airs about him. He's very nice. But the show with the tournament of chefs where they get this randomizer and they're spinning a wheel to get silly, you know, you got to use a toaster oven, you got elk and then you got Brussels sprouts and you got to put all this stuff together.
So that be said, what about the show where they put somebody in? I believe there was a show on. Unless I'm dreaming, they put somebody in a kitchen, and they need to put together a meal. But there's just random things in the cupboard.
Yeah, I was on that show. That was called Door Knock Dinners. Gordon Elliott was the guy. He was I think he had his own show, if I'm not mistaken, for a while. Then he's more of a producer now. I think he still works at Food Network, if I'm not mistaken. But the premise of the show was that you would just go knock on some random door, you know, with the camera crew and everything else, and they would hopefully let you in, and you would have to make dinner out of what you found in a lady's refrigerator.
Yeah, they'd find, like, cornflakes, so they'd make fried chicken.
That was me. I did the chicken with the cornflakes. You're plagiarizing me here, you know?
Wow.
And then you were allowed to bring one ingredient, you know, and it was kind of hokey, but it was fun. I had a good time.
You know what my ingredient would be?
What's that?
You. Get this done.
I brought basil because there's usually pasta somewhere in the house, you know, and a can of tomatoes, you know. But yeah, it was fun. We did dinner for six with the chicken and some vegetables. She was funny because, you know, I told them, I said, you know, if you're going to pick a neighborhood with a swing set in the back, you know, because you want kids because, you know, people who have kids shop.
For whatever you're worth, if you're looking for a good swing set, you go to Wood Kingdom in Farmingdale.
Well, I was looking for it in the backyard.
On Millbar Avenue. Well, you got to put it in your backyard. You got to source it somewhere.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, it was, you know, because they're the ones that tend to shop. I mean, if you were going to try and make a meal out of what was in my refrigerator, you'd have a hell of a time. There is nothing in there except maybe cheese, you know. So it was fun. We had they had a segment at the end where, I don't know, one chef was a martial artist and he was doing some katas or whatever. And, you know, so I said, well, you know, I'm half a musician. If you want, I could bring my band in. So we had my band come in, and we weren't allowed because of copyright laws to play a cover tune, you know. So we had to play an original. So I wrote a quick blues tune that we did. You know, I got them all, I can't find anything in a cupboard blues. And it was fun. We had a good time.
No, so that it's interesting. Again, we're very well scripted. Inadvertently, I mentioned Wood Kingdom. But I was having a conversation. They're one of my clients. Uh-huh. Chris is like the general manager over there. And anytime I call him, if it's lunchtime or before lunchtime or if it's after lunchtime, meaning all the time, it's all about what he's going to have for lunch.
Listen, I get it.
So I'm talking to him one day and he's having this and he's having that. And then yesterday, first of all, I told him he has to come on the radio show because he can talk about all these local
lunches.
Restaurants or whatever. But he's telling me, I just had an Uber delivery of something. It was buy one, get one free. So I said, like, how do you know which restaurant has the get one, buy one, whatever? And he goes, there's like a category. Like, I don't order food in like that. I'm, I guess, old school, a dinosaur, whatever you want to say.
Yeah,
I call the restaurant and I say, I want this, and either I'm coming to get it, or do they have their own delivery service or whatever. But no, he lives his life. So he was having, you know, one sandwich with this. Oh, it was the side dishes. He was having one with sweet potato fries and the other with Parmesan toasted string beans or whatever. Am I the only one that doesn't know anything about ordering these meal delivery services?
No, I think it's a generational thing. I don't know anything about it. I mean, I've never used DoorDash or any of that in my life. I mean, when I was living in a city, you know, you call up and they would bring it over, you know.
But let me throw it back to you in the sense of you as the restaurant owner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're selling $10 sandwiches, how can you afford to give away a $10 sandwich?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I never got the whole, you know, buy one, get one thing from the standpoint of merchandising. My belief is, and it's been, you know, it's been hammered in me because of experience, is that you get the market that you target. If you target low end, you're getting low end. If you target the middle, you'll get the middle. If you target the high, you'll get the high, right?
Okay. So let me throw this at you. You tell me, analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a restaurant in the day called George Martin's.
I remember.
Roadhouse, I think it was called.
It's on Sunrise Highway.
Yes.
Yeah.
So during the summers, we like to go to Jones Beach.
Yeah.
And they had a martini special. So we went there. And as we learned, the martini special, it was like a happy hour type thing.
Right.
But you had to sit at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're sitting at the bar. We're ready to sit down. And you know, I said, I'd like another drink. And she goes, you know, The rule is you have to be at the bar.
Yeah.
I said, but let's analyze this. I can sit at the bar eating peanuts,
uh-huh,
or their thing there, their shtick was to have pink cotton candy at the end of the meal or something.
Great, yeah.
You know, but you lured me in, which is a good thing. This is a great marketing concept for the half price drink.
Yeah.
And now I'm ordering $300 worth of food with my group.
Right.
And you're going to penalize me.
Well, not really penalize you, just not reward you.
So again, I'm open-minded. I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think restaurants have the right to make up whatever rules they want to have. And then it's up to the customer whether they want to abide by the rules or not go. I mean, you know, it's a tough call because, you know, I kind of get it. You don't want, you want to concentrate your generosity in a certain area. You know, you're trying to build the bar business, or, you know, you're just rewarding people that are coming in for the bar. I'll tell you a funny story, though. There was a place called, I believe it was called the Homestead, and it was up by what's that hotel up there, the Concord, up in Catskills? They had a golf course there called the Monster. I think it's been reopened, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I used to go up there in the summers. I met a friend of mine who lived up in the Albany area, and he would come down. I would go up. We'd meet there, and we'd play golf for a couple of days, right? And they had a little motel, you know, attached to it. It was kind of cheesy and beat up, but, you know, it was whatever. You stay there and you sleep. So I got up there the night before we were supposed to meet, and I said to the motel owner, the motel manager, is there a place to eat around here? And he says, yeah, the best place is steakhouses, is like Homestead thing or whatever. So I go there, right, and there's nobody in the bar. I mean, I'm the only one at the bar. It's like 6 o'clock or something like that. And some people in the dining room. And in the bar area, there was a bunch of tables, you know, maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 tables. So I said to the guy, and I was kind of impressed because they had a really interesting wine by the glass list, and I was bouncing around. I was having a couple of different things. And I said, I'd like to order dinner. Can I have dinner at the bar? And he goes, no. I said, excuse me? He goes, no, you can't have dinner at the bar. You can have dinner at the tables over there at the bar, but you can't eat at the bar. I said, why? He goes, the house rule. They just won't let you eat at the bar. I'm thinking it's the silliest thing I ever heard, right? But it was true. So I ordered, I remember appetizer, I'll say it was oysters, right? So the oysters come out. I had to get off the bar stool, go over to the table, sit down, eat the oysters, then come back to the bar, have my glass of wine, and then dinner came out. I had to take my glass of wine, go back to the table, which is 6 feet from the bar, by the way, you know, eat the dinner, and come back to the bar. It was the strangest
thing. Well, and that's what I ended up doing at the that bar. I was going to get even with them, you know. So I got up from the table. Anyway. I went over and I walked. Whatever.
Yeah. But it's the silliness of it that, you know, you bring to light when you kind of obey the rules. But the bottom line is, I just, you know, happy hour to me is it's the worst named thing on the planet next to asteroid and hemorrhoid, which I think they completely got backwards, you know. But happy, nobody's happy, you know. The customer's not happy because he has to go in the bar and he can't go in the dining room. And you know, the bartender's not happy because he gets tipped on the lower wages. And, you know, the owner's not happy because, you know, you're basically putting people on scholarship, which you've pledged your entire life not to do, you know. And what is it for? It's you're trying to build up business when there's nobody there, you know. At what cost?
There you go. So now here's another thought. So I'm not a big chain restaurant fan. And Kerry's been traveling a lot across the country. Mm-hmm. And she's been eating a couple of times at Longhorn Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Which is a chain.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather eat it... you know, Rare 360 or Rothman's or Blackstone.
That's
or whatever.
Rothman's.
But in this scenario, it sort of makes sense. So if you don't know the area and nobody's there to recommend something,
yeah,
and
it's a safety
and you
level
know better than anybody because you've told some stories in the day when you've asked for a local to ask you for, you know. And it's, you know, it's
Red Lobster.
Yeah. So there's some, it goes back to what you said at the beginning of the show, there's some sense of familiarity.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That, you know, it's going to be adequate.
Yeah, so it makes McDonald's McDonald's, you know. You know, it's going to be what it is.
So there is consistency. But that be said, my mind is being jogged, but I just remember East Coast, West Coast, when I was younger, traveling to see my grandmother. She lived in Bethesda, Maryland for a while. Then she mm-hmm. moved out to Fresno, California.
Oh, well.
And what's interesting is when you went to the supermarket, there's some name brands on the East Coast that for whatever reason, it's the same thing, but on the West Coast, it's branded a different name. Hmm. And I don't know what the deal was with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that made me think of the fact that I believe it's even like McDonald's and Burger King. In certain markets, they put mustard on a hamburger. So if you're getting the traditional regular burger,
right.
Here it's usually a burger,
ketchup,
onions,
pickled,
and ketchup. They'll put mustard. So you have to say no mustard or whatever. But it's interesting, I guess, different regional...
Well, it's tastes, you know. I mean, there's traditions. I like mustard on a burger, mustard and ketchup. I think, you know, burgers don't taste that good
to
me anyway. So,
my finger is up. So, that be said,
yes.
I know you frown on the ketchup.
Which finger
on the.
Was
it wasn't the bird finger.
It wasn't the bird finger. Okay.
So, I know that you frown on people putting ketchup on a hot dog.
I don't frown on it. I just wouldn't do it myself. I don't understand it. It's probably closer to the truth.
So, I concur. So, many times we'll get a nice taste experience with ketchup, and the mustard sort of is a tang.
Yeah.
But I can't. If Carrie and I share a hot dog, she's always the ketchup and the mustard.
Really?
And it, I don't know what it is. I go crazy.
You just got to buy your own hot dogs, too.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
But we... Again, it's...
You get half-price hot dogs.
No, but it's not even... You got to believe me. It's not about the money. I mean, it doesn't matter if we're getting... Because sometimes we get a foot-long hot dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's...
You both start at opposite ends and then kiss in the middle kind of thing? That would be very cool.
I should try that.
Yeah, you should.
Who knows where that will lead to?
I don't know. It's a family show.
But that's with the strand of spaghetti or the foot-long hot dog.
101 Dalmatians. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I could say something. I could say something witty about the 12 inches, but I'm not.
Easy there. You know? Don't be lying on the air. There'll be no lying on the air.
So, again, here we are, mid-April.
Mm-hmm.
Your taxes are due this coming Wednesday, supposedly.
Yeah.
You mentioned some different things, soft shell crab, morels. Morels are...
Mushroom.
Mushrooms. Okay, for some reason,
conical shaped mushroom that has a lot of holes in it. That's how you can, and they're great because the holes grab the sauce, and you know.
So again, when I was at my friend's for Easter brunch, I actually have a number of friends that barbecue throughout the year.
Uh-huh.
Are you that type of person that's out there flipping the burgers, or I guess for whatever reason Easter. A lot of people were serving lamb chops.
Well, lamb is a spring thing, spring lamb. And it's traditional Easter lamb,
And again, explain it to me. We sort of went into it a couple of weeks ago, but there's the smaller lamb chops.
Yeah, that's and then there's New Zealand lamb chops.
I'll compare it to a pork chop, that
the
size.
Ones, yeah, you have Australian is bigger, and American lamb is even bigger than that. I prefer the last two. I mean, the New Zealand chops are the little ones you usually get as appetizers in places.
Yeah, I call them like lollipops. Yeah.
The Australians are a little bigger, a little meatier, and the Colorado lamb's even bigger than that. Which I think if you're going to eat one of those things, you might as well have some meat on it, right? So
here we go. The New Zealand, those come from Australia?
No, the New Zealand comes from New Zealand. I can't even believe I'm explaining this. The New Zealand ones, oddly enough, come from New Zealand.
But is there also a thing about Australian lamb chops?
Yeah, Australian lamb. They come from the Australian lamb comes from Australia. And the New Zealand lamb comes from New Zealand. The Colorado lamb, here's a quiz. Where do you think the Colorado lamb comes from?
United States. But here's an interesting thing. Depending on where you are, you might call that domestic. So like the people in New Zealand, they're talking about, let's have some domestic lamb chops. Yeah. And then the guy in Colorado, he's saying the same thing. But those two domestic things are different.
Sounds like you're squirming here. You made a big boo-boo. Admit it.
Oh, boy. A court.
Yeah, you got caught. Speaking of court, you see that guy from the Long Island serial killer just pled guilty.
Yeah, explain.
How do we get here?
The secret here is that we record the show a couple of days before airing.
Yeah.
So we're recording Thursday morning. Wednesday, what's his name?
Rex Heuermann,
pleaded guilty.
Yeah.
And there was, I believe, like 10 charges. And then they found another body.
Yeah,
but they didn't charge him with it, but he admitted to it.
Yeah.
But when they did, when they read his charges, so you've agreed to plead guilty to number 1 through 4. 5 through 7, we're going to skip, and then 7 to 10. And I'm confused about all this legal mumble jumble, but I think it's incredible that he wasn't charged for something, but he admitted to it. But long and short, he's going to be in jail for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you can admit to whatever you want now. It's over. I mean, the court thing to me is some of it's abject silliness. I mean, I look at, a hate crime, right? Now, you can murder somebody and like second degree murder, you get 15 years unless you call him a name while you're doing it. Boy, are you going to get it then?
So here's a challenge to our listeners. Fire@WHLI.com, fire@WHLI.com. If anybody has some personal involvement with this Gilgo murder cases, he was your neighbor, mm-hmm. or somebody that unfortunately got killed. Just any relationship to it. It would be cool to hear a story.
One of the strangest ones I heard was the woman who went on a date with him and got so creeped out that she, hid in the bathroom, called a friend, and then ran.
Good for her.
Yeah,
lucky.
Talk about lucky.
God was looking over her.
Anyway, we got to get back on the positive stuff. This isn't court radio.
There you go.
That was my fault. I'm sorry.
All good. So again, here we sit, April 15th. The weather's changing. Again, there's some people that grill all summer,
yeah,
all
yeah.
winter.
Yeah.
As we get into this spring weather, What gets you going? What are you looking forward to? I know we talked about the soft shell crabs.
Yeah, I look for ingredients. I mean, you know, because what happens with me is, you know, I'm cooking every day. You know, I don't cook at home, but I'm cooking every day. And so, you know, after 2 or 3 months of the same things or the same general things, you know, you start to get bored with it, you know. And then that's what's, excuse me, the beauty of the seasons in the Northeast is that they're pretty defined, you know. And not only by the weather, but by, you know, what's around. And, you know, you have some fish that prefer cold water, some fish that prefer warm water, you know, certain birthing times of the year for different animals, and different vegetables. So for me, it's the ingredients. I look for, again, like now I'll go heavy with rack of lamb or things like that. Asparagus come into season now. Asparagus are great.
Does rack of lamb always pair well with garlic? I know,
yeah,
that
garlic, you know, garlic works with it pretty well. But you know, again, the morels. The, you know, I did a goat cheese tart the other day, like a dessert, and I did it with a rhubarb jam. You know. So strawberries are the first fruit to really ripen. They're going to start right usually in the end of May, beginning of June. Rhubarb is hot now. Again, all the mushrooms, morels, chanterelles, they're all coming out now. So there's a lot of fun things to play with. Spring peas, you know, another thing.
Just
rabbit,
going,
too, believe it or not.
Going back to the lamb, I'm opening myself to be laughed at again. Is chimichanga sauce?
Oh no, I can't even. Chimichanga sauce.
You know what I'm talking about.
Chimichurri?
Yes, there you go. Chimichurri.
Yeah.
Is that something that pairs with lamb?
Yeah, it can.
And what is it?
Chimichurri is basically a sauce made of parsley. I use a little cilantro in it too. But it's basically pureed parsley with some chilies, some shallots, a little bit of garlic, and
Is that
vinegar.
A marinade or something you cook with? And that brings up the whole subject.
It can be both. It can be both. And it's, you know, I use it basically as a finishing sauce most of the time, but it's a good marinade for like shrimp, chicken.
So that's a good question. Like, what's the difference between a marinade and a sauce that you would cook with? I know sometimes when you're grilling, if you're using barbecue sauce, I guess some people marinate it. And you've talked about some interesting marinades last week. You were saying you cooked something with black cherry soda. Mm-hmm. And I said, again, Kerry uses a root beer for something.
Right, right, right.
But a lot of times if I'm barbecuing and I'm using a barbecue sauce, what I like is it comes off the grill sometimes like crispy.
Yeah. What's the sugar
I've charred it a little bit.
Yeah.
But is there a difference in taste? You know, with something that you're marinating as, and is a marinade more light as compared to sauce that you cook with?
Yeah, I look at a marinade as something that's going to seep into the protein. You know, to you know, like something with vinegar in it or lemon juice or you know an oil or whatever, and herbs. And you can use those. I mean, vinaigrettes are great for you know. You can use a vinaigrette on fish. You can actually use vinaigrettes on meat. But I like it more when I do a marinade. I always think more something like a little liquidy, watery, you know. Like when I do, I'll do a steak marinade, like an Asian style, and I'll use Worcestershire. I'll use a little bit of olive oil. I'll use soy and sugar, you know, and rice wine vinegar, you know, that kind of thing that to really kind of permeate the meat. If it's heavier, if it's like a thickened sauce, it really won't get in there, you know.
Right. So it's a topping, which becomes interesting because, you know, if you use barbecue sauce to cook with,
right,
as compared to just putting someone like ketchup, it's still somehow embedding itself in the...
Yeah, the flavor's there for sure, you know, but it doesn't really get all the way in, and that's really the key. I mean, if I'm going to marinate a rib or something, I want the flavor to get really through the protein itself.
So, that be said, if you're making a burger or something, mm-hmm. You can make a cheeseburger.
Sure.
With the cheese on top. I was watching something with Meatloaf recently on the...
The singer or the dish?
The dish. Uh-huh. And it was the priest that does the cooking. But he was putting...
Oh, Father Jim.
Father Jim.
He's
was
great.
He was mixing cheese
into the
yeah. meatloaf mix. So
that.
I guess you could do the same thing with a hamburger.
Yeah, totally.
And again, your thoughts on if you do that or you're using it as on top.
Well, it's kind of like
and melted or unmelted. When you if you're serving cheeseburgers,
it's got to be melted, right? I mean, you know, who wants a bite of a piece of cold cheese? But you know, the thing, there's been cheeseburgers that people put it in the middle, like they'll get cheddar and they'll put it in the middle. It's kind of like a lava cake, you know, a kind of surprise. I remember Daniel Balud, who owns that restaurant, Danielle in the City, made the first $50 hamburger when he put a piece of foie gras in the middle of the burger, you know, which was an indulgent luxury that, you know, some people would eat and some people wouldn't. But the bottom line is it was kind of fun, you know, fun to do a burger like that. But, I, you know, the burgers are fun now because, last Thursday, I did a dinner at the club every year when the Masters comes out, the golf tournament. I replicate whatever the previous winner, he gets to choose a menu for the Masters dinner for all the people that have won. And this year it was Rory McIlroy who won last year. So he did a dinner where he had his past hors d'oeuvres were an elk slider. He had goat cheese and almonds, stuffed dates wrapped in bacon. He had shrimp tempura. And it was one other thing quickly, I can't remember offhand. But then there was a tuna carpaccio appetizer with foie gras, toasted baguette and chives. And then he had a choice of a Wagyu filet mignon or salmon with, he had Brussels sprouts on. I didn't use Brussels sprouts because they're kind of out of seasons. I used grilled asparagus. And he had a thing called champ, which is basically just potatoes, mashed potatoes with scallions and leeks, you know, mixed into it. And then he did the English thing for dessert. He did a sticky toffee pudding, you know, with vanilla ice cream and caramel. So it was a fun dinner to kind of replicate, you know, and everybody had a good time. I forgot why I brought that up. There was some reason.
I know why, because deep down in your mind, we were talking before the show about the Masters.
Yeah.
And I guess you wanted to talk about it.
Well, it's my favorite tournament every year to watch, and largely because it's played in the same venue every
Augusta.
Yeah, Augusta. And it's you know, kind of like the Holy Grail of golf courses. You know, it's the one you'll never get to play. You know, I've played some of the greats. I've played Shinnecock and, you know, all the ones out east, Maidstone. I've been to Pebble Beach. I've been to Spyglass. I've been to Doral. And, you know, but you're never going to get to play Augusta. I had a friend of mine who got an invitation maybe 20 years ago, and it cost him $30,000 to play. You know, he had to donate to the members' favorite charity. He had to pick up all the expenses for the guys that were playing. You know, they kind of really, you know, ran him through the ringer to play there, you know. But he can say he did it, I guess. And he's, you know, he's a wealthy guy. He could afford it.
So you mentioned Shinnecock. So the Masters is played this weekend. So today's Sunday. So this past weekend, I guess, end of the day, weather permitting, somebody will be the winner.
Yeah.
Sometimes it ends up going into Monday because of weather related things. But the Masters is not local to us. However, Shinnecock, Father's Day weekend, I believe, is gonna be the US Open here on Long Island.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating but fun. I love when we have events here in Bethpage. It seems to be so centrally located, easily accessible.
Yeah.
Shinnecock, out east Southampton, a lot of small roads. So it's going to be very...
Your best bet is to take the railroad because the train stops right there.
And I believe they've expanded a temporary expansion.
Schedule.
Yeah, and schedule. So my question to you is, will you be present at Shinnecock?
I will not, and I'll tell you why. You know, seeing a golf thing live it's fun, you know, but you see much more on TV. It's like football. You know, baseball game's different. You know, go to the stadium is something, you can see the whole thing. Football, it's a complicated game. You got people run all different directions, you know, kind of thing. And you don't really get to see a lot when you're at a game, you know?
Well, that's so interesting you say that because I guess there's all sorts of theories of how to participate at a golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You can either stand at the same hole and watch everybody play through.
Right.
And I guess you can do that at any one of the 18 holes, or you can follow somebody throughout the course.
Yeah. The good news about going to the golf tournament is you can see how far these guys hit the ball, A, and B, and how accurate they are. You know, because you can see it in real time as it comes down. I mean, TV, you get some of that, but, you know, you can watch the ball on TV.
But the world is so different over the years. I've been in the radio business for 25-plus years,
mm-hmm.
and I remember when I first started, the world was you were wearing a Sony Watchmaster or something. You know, you could watch it or whatever. Now that this cable and it's not broadcast, it's received differently. Then they started having special TVs, I think, that you would rent or something. And I think at one point you weren't allowed to bring your phone. I think now you can or whatever.
Yeah, I guess it was some copyright issues or something with people taking pictures. Plus, it's annoying if somebody's trying to hit the button, click, 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 you know, they go crazy. The guys stop their swing, they yell at you, you know. And it's rude, you know, it's rude. Just watch, you know. I think it's rude to take pictures. I mean, I shouldn't say this because Val does it, you know, occasionally. But, you know, to sit there, I've had tables come into the restaurant, you know, they get dinner in it, and right away they turn into Robert Avedon, you know, and all of a sudden they're snapping pictures and this, that, and the other thing, and then they send it back because the food's cold. Well, you've been, you know, photographing it for 20 minutes, for God's sake, you know what I mean? Eat it, for God's sake. Crazy.
So, at any rate, we're sort of at the end of the show.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
Many, many more. It's been a privilege to work with you on the radio show. First, as a, it was a thought. And then we executed it with you and
yes.
Malibu Sue.
Yeah.
And now I'm very humbled and love the fact that I get to sit across from you every week to talk about everything but food.
Well, back at you, Stu. Love having you here. All right, so we're going to end the show with Tom's three keys to life. His life is too short, and I know that because I'm getting older. Life is too short to drink bad wine. Treat every meal like it was your last, and keep chocolate in your life as important as sex and pizza. And I will see you next year when I'm older.
Woo!
Come on now, everybody, get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al.
Introducing Smoking Al's new fantasy platters. The whole gang can have fun feasting on each one of these enormous oversized platters, whether at home or in the dining room. Try the new Macho Nacho, the Bow Wow Wow, the Poo Poo Platter, the Caesar Pleaser, barbecue egg rolls, chicken wings, and a whole lot more. Smoking Al's Massapequa Park. For details, call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.